It's the Vinyl Countdown.
Jonathan Charles.
And welcome to the show. Today we remember a place which influenced rock and pop groups for decades.
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabinet. Anthony Cage, she says, just like Marie Antoinette. A building, a remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy. And it's an invitation you can't take. She's a killer queen, gunpowder gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam, guaranteed to blow your mind. Recommended at the price, insatiable and appetite. Wanna try? Just like a baroness, little man from China, but died to get your mind. Then again, incidentally, she's in that way. Perfume came naturally from Paris. Naturally. Forgot she couldn't care less, fastidious and precise.
She's a killer queen, gunpowder gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam,
guaranteed to blow your mind. Momentarily out of action, temporarily out of class, so absolutely dry. She's out to get you.
She's a killer queen, gunpowder gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam,
guaranteed to blow your mind. Ooh, recommended at the price, insatiable and appetite.
Wanna try?
We'll be right back. blood will spill. And if the boys wanna fight, you better let them. That jukebox in the corner blasting out my favorite song. The nights are getting warmer, it won't be long. Won't be long till summer comes. Now that the boys are here again.
Two great songs to kick us off, and they have something in common. All will be revealed. First, you heard Queen's 1974 number two hit, Killer Queen, and then it was Irish band Thin Lizzy. And in 1976, they reached number eight in the UK with The Boys Are Back in Town. Both of those tracks were recorded live at the famous Marquee Club in London. We're going to be hearing about its important role in music during today's show. And as ever, we're surrounded by 7 and 12-inch vinyl records. And with me is my son, Max. Max, what do you make of those Queen and Thin Lizzy singles?
Yeah, so Queen, I really love Queen, and Killer Queen especially. It's one of my favourite songs about...
What do you like about it?
I mean, it tells quite the story. It's really about the French Revolution, isn't it? About Marie Antoinette.
Certainly mentions Marie Antoinette, yeah.
Yes, yeah, but they don't mention Let Them Eat Cake.
Well, actually, you say that, Maxie. The lyrics in both those songs, you know, the lyric writing is incredibly strong. In Killer Queen, you have the lines, she keeps her Moët and Chandon in her pretty cabinet. Let them eat cake, she says, just like Marie Antoinette.
Ah, okay, let's pretend I didn't. Say that.
So if you listen to the words very carefully, you know they have those lines in. And Thin Lizzy in The Boys Are Back in Town, they sing Guess Who Just Got Back Today, Them Wild-Eyed Boys That Have Been Away. I would say both those songs have incredibly poetic lyric writing.
Yeah, you claim I would recognise The Boys Are Back in Town from somewhere, but I don't know where.
Toy Story was used in one of the Toy Story films.
Oh, that's why I haven't watched Toy Story since
Might have been
I was
Toy
six.
Story 2 or something like that, because The Boys Are Back in Town was about the toys coming back into town.
I don't think I watched that one, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not really the sort of movie I'm going to go downstairs and watch tonight, though, is it?
But incredibly strong lyric writing is very important in songwriting, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, bad lyrics can ruin the song.
There's also immensely good guitar playing in that Thin Lizzy song.
Because it's just perfect. I mean, there's that beautiful rhythm, that really great energy that you get from both of those songs, especially the second one. I mean, it does sort of get you up and dancing whilst... Kill Queen, not so much. It's more of a thoughtful song.
But I agree, they've both got something special about them. So we are focusing, Max, on musicians who played at the Marquee Club in London. It was where generations of rock acts launched their careers from the late 1950s onwards. It used to be at 90 Wardour Street in Soho in central London, and we've walked past it, Max, many, many times. Have you even noticed it?
No, I haven't, but it's normally on our journey to Chin Chin Ice Cream.
Yes,
other ice creams are available.
Yes, other ice cream brands are definitely available. But we go to an ice cream place down in Soho sometimes, and we walk past 90 Wardour Street, or scoot past because we're on our scooters, all the time.
Yep. You shouldn't have said that on air, because, I mean, it's a bit embarrassing, but everyone will know.
I thought you were going to say other forms of transport are available.
But they're not a brand.
Now, Max, it was where the Rolling Stones, the Marquee Club, was where the Rolling Stones had their first live performance in July 1962. So it's one of those places that's in sort of rock and roll history.
Yeah, which is... why I need to ask, why are we not playing the Rolling Stones today?
Well, you have to see who we're going to play. I'm not going to tell you. We've got all sorts of groups coming up who played at the Marquee Club, so we're going to hear many, many famous groups.
I'm really looking forward to that.
So what was playing at the Marquee Club really like? Here's a trailer for a documentary made about its 50th anniversary. We're going to be hearing from Roger Daltrey of The Who, Howard Pendleton, who founded the club, and also a member of the Small Faces.
Defined as the most important venue in the history of British music. This is the incredible story of a unique London venue where reputations were built, moulds were broken, and legends were made. The Marquee Club. Featuring exclusive interviews with icons.
Whatever we got from doing the Marquee on that Tuesday night completely changed our lives.
Masses of unseen live footage. Playing there started the journey to superstardom.
Someone said to me, Dad, why didn't you sign the Rolling Stones?
The Small Faces at the Marquee chose the band the way I remember the band. When I've joined the band, this was how the band was. Steve was singing his heart out. Ronnie slamming the bass.
Ka-pa-boom, ka-pa-boom. Sounds that defined an era. Fashions that defined generations.
Fashions used to last for like a week. The next week, you see that everybody else that would be looking like crap that week will be wearing the same stuff, and the person that had looked amazing in that, the next week, will be wearing something completely different.
Young teacher, the subject of schoolgirl fantasy. She wants him so badly, knows what she wants to be. Inside her, there's longing. This girl's an open page. Bookmarking, she's so close now. This girl is half his age.
Another live performance from the Marquee Club. That was The Police and Don't Stand So Close to Me. It was their third UK number one, hitting the top in 1980. It also took them to number one in America. I think that is a great song, Max.
Yeah, it's really great. I mean, there are a few reggae influences in that.
There are, yes, and it's very sort of its time, late 70s, early 80s, when certainly new wave and punk acts were also playing a little bit with infusing reggae into rock, into punk rock.
Yes, it's time for me to make another confession.
Go on then.
When I think of reggae, the first thing I think of is Levi Roots reggae source.
Other sources are available. We're having one of those days, aren't we?
Oh, yes, we are. You can buy other jerk sources from other supermarkets.
Do you remember who the lead singer was of The Police?
Levi Roots.
No. Think of bumblebees.
I don't know.
It was Sting.
You mean Mr. Fireman?
It was Sting. Remember, we featured him on a previous programme and they called him Sting. Do you remember why they called him Sting, the lead singer of The Police? That's not his real name.
I don't remember.
It's because he used to wear a jumper which was looked like a bee. It had black and yellow stripes going around it.
That's like very of its time.
Yeah, very of its time, actually. He was very of its time. But they were a really good band, and the Police were one of just one of many new wave and punk acts who started playing at the Marquee Club from the mid to late 70s onwards. There were bands like the Sex Pistols, Eddie and the Hot Rods, Adam and the Ants, The Jam. It was a very cheap place for fans to go, and groups like the Atmosphere, Max, I remember going there actually to see The Jam, and it was always a lot of fun going to the Marquee Club.
Yes, this is like a cheaper version of Ronnie Scott.
It was, well, of course, Ronnie Scott's is not very far away from where that club used to be.
Yeah. Wait, is it still there but relocated or something?
Well, it closed down, actually, the Marquee Club in the end. It did relocate a couple of times. And I suppose that the club scene really wasn't the same from the 80s onwards. There were just weren't as many up-and-coming bands.
So when did they shut?
I think they shut in the 2000s, actually, eventually, having moved a couple of times and also having been a sort of pop-up Marquee Club in various pubs at one time.
Oh, wow.
But the Marquee Club, the original one in Wardell Street, had a huge long bar. I remember it well. And you used to, if you went along there to watch the groups play afterwards, the musicians would hang around and swap ideas hanging around the bar. Could you imagine that?
Wow, that actually sounds a bit crazy.
It was a very bohemian place, and it was, I suppose, a very good place as well for musicians to actually chat to each other about musical trends.
Yeah, I wish I could do something like that.
Well, there you are. That's part of the the old world, the modern world, I suppose, Max, is you get your Marquee Club almost online. Every music, a piece of music you want is there, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I listen to music every morning as I go to school.
Whereas in my day, you either had records when I was very young, or you went to see them playing in clubs.
Yes, when you were very young in the 1880s on a gramophone.
Not even gramophones probably existed then. Max, you're going to be back later with more on one of the groups connected to the Marquee Club. But first, this is where we step up a gear, the part of the show where we play dance music on vinyl to get you up on your feet.
It's the Vinyl Countdown.
Disco music.
Now.
Yes, no need to take your clothes off to have a good time on this show. Jermaine Stewart with his top 10 hit in the UK, America and many other countries from 1986. Now, a great one to slow dance to. Here's Player with their breakthrough single from 1977, Baby Come Back, a number one in America, but only reached number 32 in the UK.
Come back. You can blame it all on me. Baby, come back.
Listen, baby,
you can blame it all on me. I was wrong, and I just can't live without you. I was wrong, and I just can't live.
With music just for you, Jonathan Charles.
Single for Evelyn Champagne King from her fifth album, Love Come Down, was a transatlantic chart success in 1982. 3 years earlier, it was GQ's time. Disco Nights was doing well on disco floors. They were an American soul and disco group, and that's still regarded as one of the best disco songs of all time. Max is going to be back soon with a focus on more artists who played at London's Marquee Club. The triple play's on the way, and it's all on vinyl.
It's the Vinyl Countdown!
1967! 1980.
That was the Vinyl Countdown Triple Play, all artists connected to London's famous Marquee Club, which launched the careers of so many. First, it was Cat Stevens with Matthew and Son, his highest charting UK single. It got to number two. Then we heard Supertramp with Dreamer, hit from the Crime of the Century album. And finally, it was Genesis with Turn It On Again. They were regulars at the Marquee Club. Max, you've been finding out some more about Genesis.
Genesis is the first book of the Bible. And
also a pop group.
I forgot this Vinyl Countdown. Whoops. Genesis were an English rock band. They were formed after the original group members met while at Charterhouse School in Surrey. In fact, the band started off playing folk music, and then progressive rock, and then finally turned to pop from the late 70s onward. Famous group members included Peter Gabriel, Mike Rutherford, and someone else.
Yeah, you've missed out one famous name.
They have worldwide album sales of about 150 million, making them one of the best-selling groups of all time. The song we just played, Turn It On Again, reached number 8 in the UK in 1980.
And who was singing the lead vocals on that song?
Oh, no. We don't mention his name on the show.
It's Phil Collins.
No.
I really like Phil Collins.
I really hate Phil Collins.
Why do you hate Phil Collins?
I don't know. I find his singing really boring and uninteresting.
Well, you know, I'm the complete opposite. And I have to tell you, Max, last time you said you didn't like Phil Collins on
he
the programme. Yes, lots of listeners wrote in to say that they were very upset because they really like Phil Collins.
I remember Phil Collins wrote in as well.
Sorry, Phil Collins. I love you anyway.
Yeah.
So Genesis were one of many bands who played live at the Marquee Club, Max. You can see just how influential that club was from the groups that we've heard.
Yeah, I mean, loads of famous people have played there. He Who Must Not Be Named, Queen, and some other people.
And quite a few. Well, the founder of the Marquee, Harold Pendleton, sold the club in 1988. It moved to another venue, and it finally closed in all its forms in 2008. All that history gone, Max.
I know, it's a shame. It just disappeared from the face of the earth.
And I think it's a shame as well when small venues go, because there is something about being in a small, intimate venue when you're very close to the stage and you can see the band playing.
Well, never fear. You can still go see some things at small venues, like Ronnie Scott.
Yes, exactly. That's one that survived. And the other problem, of course, otherwise you're left with the massive stadium venues and the people are just so far away. It's very hard to see the stage.
I know. We travelled all the way up to Hull to go see VLO. It just didn't feel as personal.
We've been in quite a few stadium events. Well, we've got one more piece of vinyl to come from a marquee performer. Get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, you can do that on Instagram and on Twitter. On Instagram, we're at Vinyl Countdown Podcast, and on Twitter, we're at Vinyl Countdown 10.
So get in touch with us, especially if you're Phil Collins.
Please don't.
So we play out with another band who performed at the Marquee Club. Mott the Hoople had a hit with this in 1972. All the Young Dudes, written by David Bowie, who wanted the group to do well because he really liked them. See you next time with another box full of great records.
Bye.
Final Countdown.